the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is April 2nd, 2016. I'm Matt, your host, and we're here live. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday was April 1st. Who got pranked? I was fortunate enough to dodge bullets there and not get pranked, but how many of you out there got pranked or did pranks? The number to the studio here is 254-773-1400, or you can email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, or just go directly to the website at aaronsgunshop.com. But if you got pranked or you did a prank and it's of noteworthiness, give us a call, 254-773-1400. As always, ladies and gentlemen, weeks go by, and within those weeks, Matt has opinions. And this week is no different. Once again, I have an opinion based on what I've seen, experienced, and I'm going to make a comment on it. So we're going to go into that right now. Remember, the number here is 773-1400. Today is April 2nd. Let us know what's going on out there to be a part of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, the opinion piece today is titled Soldiers and Civilians. Soldiers trained to go to war. I'm specifically talking about combat soldiers, the ones who actually pull the trigger to shoot the enemy who's in front of them. I personally have trained as a combat soldier many years ago, and I've been a civilian now for quite a while. It's amazing to me how time just flies by. It just goes with the blink of an eye. Since I've trained as a soldier, I realize that dressing up as a soldier and the coolness it has as a young man or woman just entering fades very quickly when you realize that at any moment you may be called upon to do the task you have been trained to do. Failing to do your assigned duties or tasks due to your unpreparedness on your part can cause yourself and many others to be wounded or killed. Combat soldiers just don't dress up, read books, watch movies, or play simulated games. They go out into the field. They get dirty. They test their equipment and their skills and look for weaknesses in their training and equipment and study how they can become better and better and better. Soldiers in this country volunteer. They were not drafted. They willingly put themselves on the line to defend this country against enemies both foreign and domestic. A civilian license to carry holder is the same way. A civilian voluntarily goes to apply for his or her license, reads books, watches movies, takes a shooting and a written test, gets extra ammo, extra mags, a new gun, new holster, concealment clothing, hangs out at the gun shop, shoots at the stationary paper targets, so on and so forth, etc., etc. The license to carry holder wishes to defend themselves, loved ones, and or property, and maybe be willing to defend a third person. And that's all fine and dandy. But from my observation through the years of training people and being in the position to see how people handle and shoot their guns, I have noticed, sadly I may add, that their training and their ability does not match their desire and want to carry a handgun for self-defense. I see too many people under the illusion that since they have a gun and took a license to carry class, they're basically good to go. Well, guess what? They are not. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a license to carry, you better know what you're doing. You better know how to handle your weapon and how to handle yourself and your weapon under stress. Way too many people, I see, will fall apart under pressure due to a lack of proper training. Do not be one of those people. Combat soldiers have a regimen of training to stay proficient and beyond. You, the licensed to carry holder, need to do the same. One day, you will gnash your teeth if you do not prepare now. So, prepare, prepare, prepare. And there you have it. That's my opinion of the week. If you like it, great. If not, I don't care. That's my opinion. Everybody has it. God bless America and the right to free speech. Let's see if we can hold on to it through this election. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, 773-1400, 254-773-1400 if you want to be a part of the show. If you got hoaxed or fooled yesterday, give us a call, let us know. It'd be a nice little humor on the show there. And our show highlights today, a lot of things going on. Today's License to Carry segment will cover Texas Penal Code 931, self-defense. Since that is the primary reason we want to carry a gun, I think it's a good idea to read and know this particular penal code, as well as the other ones, of course. As always, I'll read to you three stories from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column and see what we can glean from those true stories. And, of course, I will add my commentary to those stories. My PEP section will go over indicators and how indicators can help to forewarn you of impending danger. Today's topic of interest section will go over all the upcoming events in April and how you can be part of them. We have a lot of stuff going on in the month of April, so get your pens and paper ready. There's a lot of things happening. You probably want to be part of it. Have a lot of fun. Now, I'm excited about the product spotlight segment on the show today, as my friend and business owner of ANC Firearms has allowed me to demonstrate some of his inventory on today's segment. ANC Firearms is located in Heidenhammer, in case you don't know, between Rogers and Temple. And people say, well, why are you doing that? Why are you having a gun person on your gun show? Look, he does certain things that I don't do, and I do things that he doesn't do. It's a great mesh. Plus, he's a very good friend of mine, and I like him. In the gun training section, I'll be going over the use and function of the magazine follower for an auto pistol. It either works or it doesn't. And I'll show you both how it works and why it won't work. And if you have an auto pistol, get your magazine ready. Take it out of the gun and empty it and be ready to follow along. Get all the ammo out of the room. Get your empty magazine ready. And when it comes time to that segment, we'll talk about it. So now that we've gone over a lot of things going on in the show today, we're going to start off right now and we're going to go into our license to carry segment of the program. Texas Penal Code 9.31, self-defense. Getting a license to carry here in Texas is pretty much an easy thing to do. All you really need is a little money, a little memory, and pass the shooting and written test. Then submit all your paperwork to the state and wait a while. Once you put it in the mail and wait about 45 days, voila, you have your license. That was the easy part. The hard part is when you get your license. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's when, God forbid, if you have to use your handgun in defense of your life, you will be judged, scrutinized, and put through the ringer to see if somewhere during your nanosecond decision to use your weapon, you didn't break the law and put yourself in jeopardy of being arrested or worse. Now, what I'm going to read to you now is Penal Code 931, self-defense. I'm reading this section to show how many different things are looked at to determine if you're in the right or not. Because remember, when you applied for your license, you signed an affidavit either in ink or electronically that states you know and understand all the laws pertaining to license to carry in the state of Texas. All I'm doing right now is reading one penal code, and there are many others. Learning all these penal codes can become very overwhelming. Now, in everything we do, however, there are tricks to make things easier, less cluttered, and more clear as to what to do and when. And at Aaron's Gun Shop, we teach those tricks so the penal codes don't become somewhat of a burden to remember. So sign up now for a class. And if you have already taken a class, do a refresher. So let's go here to the book, and we're going to read Penal Code 931. And that's going to be self-defense. And remember, we had Attorney Ed Laughlin on last week, and we were talking about legalese and the word reasonable and all these things come into play here. So as you listen, you're going to find and see that there's a lot of things that can go wrong and not in your favor if somebody doesn't agree with how you're thinking. So let's start off with Penal Code 931, self-defense, sometimes referred to as castle law. Paragraph A. Except as provided in subchapter B, a person is justified in using force against another when and to the degree he reasonably believes the force is immediately necessary to protect himself against the other's use or attempted use of unlawful force. Huh? A person's belief that the force is immediately necessary as described by this subsection is presumed to be reasonable if the actor, one, knew or had reason to believe that the person against whom the force or deadly force was used unlawfully and with force entered or attempted to enter the actor's home, vehicle, or place of business or employment, unlawfully and with force removed or attempted to remove the actor from the home, vehicle, or place of business or employment, or was committing or attempting to commit aggravated kidnapping, murder, aggravated sexual assault, robbery, or aggravated robbery. Two, did not provoke the person against whom the force or deadly force was used. And three, was not otherwise engaged in certain criminal activity at the time the force or deadly force was used. The actor who has the right to be present at the location where the force or deadly force is used, who has not provoked the person against whom the force is used, and who is not engaged in criminal activity at that time, is not required to retreat before using force or deadly force. Paragraph B. The use of force against another is not justified, one, in response to verbal provocation alone, two, to resist arrest or search that the actor knows is being made by a peace officer or by a person acting in a peace officer's presence at his direction, even though the arrest or search is unlawful unless the resistance is justified under subsection C. We'll talk about that in a second. Get your video cameras ready. And three, if the actor consented to the exact force used or attempted by the other. And four, if the actor provoked the other's use or attempted use of unlawful force unless A, the actor abandons the encounter or clearly communicates to the other his intent to do so reasonably believing he cannot safely abandon the encounter, and B, the other nevertheless continues or attempts to use unlawful force against the actor, or five, if the actor sought an explanation from or discussion with the other person concerning the actor's differences with the other person while the actor was A, carrying a weapon in violation of Section 4602, or B, possessing or transporting a weapon in violation of Section 4605. And then C, cameras ready. The use of force to resist an arrest or search is justified, one, if, before the actor offers any resistance, the peace officer or person acting at his direction uses or attempts to use greater force than necessary to make the arrest or search, and two, when and to the degree the actor reasonably believes the force is immediately necessary to protect himself against the peace officers or other persons use of attempted use of greater force than necessary. You need a video camera on that if you're going to resist that because, well, I'll get into it in the class. And then D, the use of deadly force is not justified under the subchapter except as provided in sections 932, 933, and 934. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I just read to you Penal Code 931. Do you got that? Do you all understand it? Do you all know what it means? Because you're so eager to get your license, to go through the class, to the cheapest place you can find it, the quickest time you can get out of there. You borrow a gun. You get the gun out of the trunk door. It's all dirty. You don't clean it. And you go take the class, and I got my license. Okay, I'm good to go. And you sign the affidavit stating that you understand and know the laws, the penal codes for license to carry in the state of Texas. Okay, I just read to you one penal code. I've got to slow down, and I've been doing this over 15 years, okay? I've got to study this and concentrate on it to be sure that I dot my I's and cross my T's when I teach it to the students. But now, when it comes to rubber meeting the road and you're on the street and something goes down, are you going to remember all this? Probably not. So you have to have a basic guideline for yourself. You have to study this But when it comes time for it happening on the street, you're not going to have time. You've got to have this all put away in your brain already. You've got to know the lines in the sand. You've got to understand the basic fundamentals of how this penal code works. And you got to say, it is now time. That's the line in the sand. I've already thought about it, gone through my mind, what's going to happen, where am I going to pull this gun, when would I use force, reasonable necessary force or deadly force under a situation. You've got to prepare now. If you don't prepare now, you won't have time to prepare later. And when it happens later, you're going to be gnashing your teeth. So what you need to do, you need to take a course. You need to see what it is that is relative to getting a license to carry. You need to study it, understand it, and get your basics down so when you're on the street, you don't have to flip out the law book and say, well, I'm legal to do this and I'm legal to do that, but I can't do it. You don't have time for that. So if your head's going to go under the bow of the boat and you figure that's time, it's it, it's over. If you already planned it, you've already thought about it, and you're prepared to respond, not react. Okay, that's license to carry. We have classes for this. Give us a call, aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the license to carry page. You can sign up there. I've got a class tomorrow at 2 o'clock. There's still room in the class, and there's still time to sign up. You can even take a refresher course. If you've had your license already and you're going, oh my gosh, I don't know those penal codes, I should listen to them again. Come take the class. Come take your shooting test again. Get refreshed and all that. All right. Any questions, give us a call here at 254-773-1400, and we'll get you on the air. Moving on to our NRA segment of the show. In this section, I'm going to read to you three stories from the NRA's Armed Citizens page of the American Rifleman. Hopefully from these true stories, we can learn what to do and what not to do, and maybe even get a laugh or two in the process. It all depends on the story. And again, as always, if you're not a member of the NRA, you might consider becoming one. The more gun supporters they have, the more muscle they have to stop bad legislation. And I'll tell you what, if they do a broker convention and steal the primary away from certain people, and you have a certain female get in office, there's going to be a lot of gun purchases, I'm telling you that right now. So get ready. This comes from April 2016, and this is the first story. Pay attention to this one. It's a short one, but pay attention. St. Louis police are looking for a would-be robber who fired multiple rounds inside a neighborhood grocery store. An armed intruder, pretending to want to buy a 20-cent piece of candy, accosted the store owner and her husband. Listen up. After the gunman grabbed her husband, the woman grabbed her gun. The robber fired multiple shots at the store owner's husband. Remember, he grabbed him. But no bullet struck the victim. Although she never got a clear shot, the woman's threats to return fire eventually scared off the bad guy. My commentary. Who has seen the movie Pulp Fiction? I'm seeing people raise their hands now. Okay, very good. You got Samuel Jackson and John Travolta being shot at by some wannabe drug dealer with a six-shot revolver at very close range. All the shots miss. And Samuel believes it to be divine intervention and causes him to think differently about life. Well, here we have the bad guy grab the store owner's husband and fire multiple shots at the husband, and he's unharmed. Now, the gunman either did not take a class from me on how to use a gun, or this was divine intervention. And my money's going to go with divine intervention. But when you've got this guy in your hand, and you're pointing a gun at him, shooting it, and you miss him, my gosh, man, that's pretty bad. All right, story number two. Again, from April 2016. A Georgia man is grateful that his father kept an old hunting rifle in the house because it came in handy during a self-defense situation in January. When the man and his mother entered their Decatur, Georgia home, two criminals stormed in after them and started pistol-whipping the victims. One of the intruders pulled the man toward a bedroom where the hunting rifle was stored. Listen up. Despite the fact that the victim had a gun to his head, he still grabbed the rifle and shot. He ended up shooting both intruders, one of whom died in the yard outside and the other one whom died at the medical facility. My commentary. Number one, yet another criminal who did not take a class from me. Two, I give the man in the house in this section a blue star for maintaining himself under dire conditions. Everybody, do you know why it's a blue star, not a gold star? Gold stars are for dead soldiers. I do not want dead soldiers. I want to honor blue star soldiers, the one who go to fight and come back home alive. Okay? Unfortunately, soldiers do die, and they're gold star soldiers. But we want to just say, hey, you get a blue star. Good job for that reason. Number three, not only was the man who had the gun to his head able to get to his father's rifle, but he was able to shoot both intruders. Ladies and gentlemen, that ain't easy. It takes a lot of doing to swing a rifle around and make two accurate shots like that under duress. I think I need to take a class from that guy. That guy was pretty good. Our third story. Again, from 2016, April. Convenience stores might not really be a convenient target for robbers. At least not the one in Florida. A Deerfield Beach store's employees shot and killed an armed robber, and the store owner offered no apologies for keeping six guns throughout the store to protect against criminals. When you carry cash, everyone can be your enemy, said the man who owns the snappy store. Police reports indicate that the store owner's nephew and another employee were in the store working when a masked man came up to the counter. The nephew didn't even have time to try to comply with the gunman's demands before the bad guy started shooting. Both employees ended up grabbing guns and returning fire. The police arrived and the masked gunman was pronounced dead at the scene. My commentary. To all you business owners or GMs whoever decides not to allow your employees the right to defend themselves, I do not salute you. I thumb my nose up at you. You're more worried about insurance policies and the bottom line than you are the safety of your employees. And don't tell me no guns in the building is safety for my employees. That's a crock. Number two, putting up 30-06 and 30-07 signs makes me thumb up my nose to you twice. And I'll let you translate that however way you want. Anyway, that's my comments. If you don't like them, I don't care. Free country. God bless it. Freedom of speech. All right, Paul, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go over our PEP section, indicators. I think you're going to enjoy that. So we'll be back in about a minute and a half.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. I am Matt, your host. Today's April 2nd, 2016, and we're back here live again. Thank goodness. If you want to be part of the show, 254-773-1400. If you want to send me an email, aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, or go directly to the website, aaronsgunshop.com. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have your license to carry, you need to go to aaronsgunshop.com, and when you're there, go to the License to Carry page, and there you'll find the upcoming classes that we offer. Sign yourself up to take a class with me so you can be on the road to getting your license. I mean, why wait till it's too late to get your license? Defend yourself now. The course time is approximately 5 hours, and that includes your written and shooting test. The fee for the course is $60, and trust me, you will not be bored. I've been doing this for a long time, and many, many people I've taught, and I can teach lots of tricks and I can get you to learn this information in a lot shorter time because of it. So go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the license to carry page and sign up for a class now. They fill up kind of quick. Now, we got a class tomorrow, April 3rd at 2 o'clock. There's still room for that. So if you want to go to the website and sign up or give us a call here at the studio, we can get you squared away. Moving on to our PEP section, Preparedness Eliminates Panic. I wanted to talk to you about indicators. Now, ladies and gentlemen, most of the time before something bad happens, there are indicators that can be seen and give us warning if we pay attention to those indicators and know what they mean. So the trick is pay attention and know how to read the indicators. Okay, there's a trick. In our home and self-defense training seminars, we teach that a lot. We go over indicators a lot. When searching your home for an intruder, there are lots of ways that the intruder or you can give away your positions. Now, some of those indicators can be sound, vibration, reflections, shadows. There's a lot more types of indicators, but those are the basic ones. The sound is like literally the bad guy is making noise or you are. They drop a glass on the floor. Boom. Oh, I know where he is now. He made the noise. There's the direction of the noise. I have a good idea where he's standing. Vibration, floor tremors, wall bumps. If you're leaning up against the wall and they happen to touch the wall, the vibration's going to go through. You have a sense, hey, they're right around the corner from this wall. Reflections, you could use mirrors, window glass, shiny surfaces. And shadows from moonlight, electronic devices, or outdoor lighting can all cast shadows and give you an idea where somebody might be, or they can see where you are. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because of a news report about the recent Brussels bombings. I'm sure everybody's aware of that. I saw a photograph of three persons involved, and the story stated that the two suicide bombers wore gloves on their left hands only. The third individual was wearing a light-colored clothing. The two bombers had dark upper clothing and light lower clothing. And all three were walking next to each other, pushing carts. Now, are these indicators in the future, since we have made note of them now? You bet they are. It appears to me that they were being watched. The gloves were the identifiers. Why wear gloves like that when you know each other? The third person was directing the other two, and who knows who is directing the third guy. You know, in my other show on 105.1 The Ranch out of Cameron, which starts at 10 o'clock every Saturday, I was talking to my board operator there, Trey, and he made up a comment about the glove being on the left hand and them wearing long sleeves. The wires could have been running down the arm into a control switch in the palm, and you don't want to see the control switch, so they wear the glove to cover it. It made total sense to me. So that's another thing to think about. It would be very interesting to see photos of the bombers before detonation to see if there are any similarities that we may use in the future as future indicators. Am I telling you to be paranoid about this situation? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm telling you to be prepared and observant. If we can learn as many indicators as we can, we may have a better chance of being more prepared and responding to the situation faster. People and things give signs. There is no way around that. The trick is, can you read the signs? Now, let me read to you some common signs of emotional disturbance that could result in someone becoming violent. Got this information here that we do in our classes. We teach it to our students. So I'm going to teach it to you now and get a little heads up if you ever take a class. But it's common signs of emotional disturbance that could result in someone becoming violent. In a potential conflict situation, there are a number of signs that most mammals exhibit that indicate stress. There is a direct link between distress, negative or harmful stress, and emotional upheaval. Be prepared for emotional distress and respond to this, understanding the conflict and working toward a solution. Do not react, thus causing the conflict to potentially escalate. So common signs of emotional upheaval could be clenched or clenching fists. Increased deep and rapid respiration, sweating, elevated blood pressure, red face or complexion, violent verbal outbursts, stomping of your feet, throwing things, crying, tantrum-like behavior, body tremors, like you're just shaking, you're so mad, or stuttering a speech, intense or fixed eye contact on a target or focal point, such as a perceived source of stress. Now, all signs come from two sources, physiological and psychological. Physiological deals with the function and activities of living organisms and their parts, including all physical and chemical processes. Physiological refers to the science of mental states and/or processes of the mind. Physiological means body and physiological means mind. Remember the adage that is old but has never been replaced. The body does not lie. Somehow, some way, we physically exhibit our stress, tension, and anger. It is important to remember that people have reactions that are uncontrollable. The body will react in a way that cannot be controlled by the individual displaying an emotional reaction. Breathing changes, complexion colors changes, body shaking or trembling, crying, and sweating are some of the bodily reactions that cannot be stopped when a person has become angry or is placed in a stressful situation. Now, everybody, listen. Granted that what I just read to you, they are signs that are easy to spot as compared to a calculated killer. Calculated killers give signs too, and I'm wondering if matching clothing and gloves worn on one hand, the same hand, aren't future signs of for what we need to look for. So think about this. A person who is not naturally aggressive, but gets their buttons pushed, are going to show the clear signs of emotional disturbance. There is a certain set procedure to try and calm them down. It's called nonviolent dispute resolution. We're basically going to talk to them, see what the problem is, listen to them, make sure we understand what's going on, talk to them in an adult-like manner. Hopefully we can get everybody back down, adult talking to an adult, and diffuse the situation. But when you have a cold-blooded, methodical, calculated killer or suicide bomber, it's much harder to identify. They don't care about you. They have no morals, no ethics, no compassion, no concern. All that is on their mind is a body count. And the bigger the body count, the better in their minds, even if they blow their minds to bits. We all must be diligent in our awareness and observation of something out of place, something evil brewing. Indicators is the best way to figure this out. So study and learn and know what they mean, and one day your life may depend upon it. But I want to make a comment about looking for things. If you get ridiculous, you know, I don't got time for you. If you have somebody, they just don't, you don't like the way they're dressing, that's crazy. But if somebody puts down a satchel bag and runs away, or now because we've got pictures of suicide bombers wearing certain types of clothing with gloves on one hand, and it starts to make you wonder, and they're all walking in line, and it just doesn't seem right. Okay, you can observe it. But to get on somebody because they're growing an avocado or something in their front yard and it looks funny, that's ridiculous. So pay attention to your indicators. Indicators in your home, indicators on the street, indicators when it comes to potential terroristic activities, things of that nature. Become aware, become wise, become smart so you can study it and analyze it and truly say, you know, this one looks weird. It doesn't look like, this is no big deal. This one truly looks weird. It's got all the indicators that show it. Is that stereotyping? I don't know. If it is, it may save a life. Who knows? All right. That's the indicators. We go over a lot of this stuff in our classes, in our seminars. Be sure to check out aaronsgunshop.com. Go to all the different pages, the High Cap Adventure pages, and look at all the different seminars that we have. We've got some seminars coming up, some classes coming up, and we'll be talking about that as we come back from break. So, Paul, let's take another break. And, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we'll be going over our topic of interest, all the activities that will be going on in the month of April. So get your pens and paper ready to take some notes, and hopefully you'll become part of those activities. So we'll see you on the other side.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Back to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. Again, today is April 2nd, 2016. The number here to the studio, if you want to make a call, is 254-773-1400. And ladies and gentlemen, lots of people wonder or doubt their ability to function well in a seminar or training session. And that's not the problem. The problem is finding an instructor who knows what they're doing and who is able to convey those skills to his or her students. If you have any doubts about yourself, I want you to refer to the aaronsgunshop.com's testimonial page. You'll get to watch and listen and read testimonials from prior students of ours stating they came in nervous, and at the end of the day, they craved more training and info. They all broke through the barrier of self-doubt and became empowered with the knowledge that they learned, and that they can use their handgun and, you know, their weapon and function under stress. If you've wanted to take a weapons class but were too unsure to commit, I challenge you to review the testimonial page at aaronsgunshop.com. You can do this. You really can. So go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the testimonial page, and watch the videos. You'll be surprised at what you see there. You would never expect certain people to be taking classes. When you see them and how empowered they get, it's pretty incredible. And don't forget, Saturdays at 10 o'clock on 105.1 The Ranch out of Cameron, I have my other show. That's an hour show from 10 to 11. Make sure you mark that in your books so that when it comes time, you can listen to that show as well. It's pretty much a repeat of this one. A few minor differences. Okay, our topic of interest today is going over a whole bunch of different events that are happening in the month of April. The first one is going to be April 3rd. That's tomorrow, Sunday at 2 o'clock. There's still time to get into that class. There's still seats available. We kind of threw this one out there real quick, so we didn't promote it too long. And you can go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the license to carry page and sign up there. You can give me a call here in the studio and we'll get you locked in. That's a great class. It's the basic license to carry class, 5 hours, covers all the mandatory things required by the state to get your certificate so you can apply for your license with the state, and it does your shooting and written test. April 8th is our next round robin competition. That's a lot of fun. If you've never done it or never seen it, you need to show up Friday night. This Friday night coming up, April 8th, is our round robin competition. Now, let me make another point. Range fee is $10. You come to my shop to shoot in the range, it's $10 for the night. Okay? None of this hour stuff is $10 for the night. If you go to the competition, it's $20. You get to shoot in the range. You get to compete in the range. You might even win something. And without fail, you're going to learn how to handle your weapon a lot better. For $20 with the potential to win, come on down. It's a lot of fun. Everybody gets pumped up and excited. So check it out. Go to the aaronsgunshop.com website. Go to the homepage. And at the top there, there's a link that'll give you all the information concerning the competition. And if you have any questions, feel free to give me a call. On April 9th and 10th, there's going to be a gun show at the Bell County Expo Center, and we're going to be there. Aaron's Gun Shop will be there, and we're going to do a live remote on April 9th there at the show. So be there. Come on by. Say hi to everybody. The crew will be there. I haven't figured out who my special guest is yet. And we definitely have on the show is going to be Sean McVicker. He was going to be showing all his engraving. That's going to be a great segment there. He's got a new gun that he's engraved. He's got mine that he's done. Patties that he's done. We're going to be showing these guns off. It's going to be a good time. So come and check out his work there on April 9th at the gun show. It'll be there 9th and 10th, but the live remote will be on April 9th. April 16th. Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a lot of fun, too. There's going to be a live remote at ANC Firearms starting at 10 o'clock. And why am I doing this? Because Arch and I were good friends. I love his shop. Love the guys, Mike, Clint, Dennis. They got a lot of neat stuff there. And we do two different things. So we work compatibly, one with each other. One hand washes the other. It works great. So we're going to be doing a live remote there. We'd love to get to meet y'all. You get to meet the crew. And just be a lot of good fun. We'll have some good information going out there, too. So come on out. Check it out. I'm sure he'll have some discounts or sales going on for that live remote. On April 17th, we have our next combo seminar. I don't do that very often. It just happened to work out again on April 17th. Normally, my advanced training seminar or my home and self-defense training seminar is $165. That includes a barbecue lunch. And my license to carry is $60. Well, on April 17th, we're going to combine the two. You're going to get your required information and testing that is required by the state to get your license to carry. And on top of that, we're going to do advanced training, multiple guns, malfunctions, multiple targets, shooting a lot of rounds. And the most fun part that everybody loves is the shoot house. It's the biggest adrenaline rush they get out of the day. They get to see and put together all the skills that they learned during the day and apply them in the shoot house and see how they handle under stress. So April 17th, go to aaronsgunshop.com, sign up now. That has definitely got limited seating. And sign up then on the website at High Cap Adventures. It should be the flyer in the top left-hand corner. Anybody out there who's taken a class from me before, it doesn't matter what class it was, if it was a license to carry class, a CHL class, or a seminar, if you wish to take the class again and refresh your CHL or license to carry with the knowledge, or you want to get your new one, or you want to do some advanced training, if you had taken a class from me before, I'll take $60 off that price. So you'll get a combo class for $105 and the barbecue lunch. But you need to sign up very quickly. All right, April 23rd and 24th, we've got another live show going on the 23rd. That's the Saturday at the gun show in Belton. It'll be on in the barn side, I guess the larger side. If you're looking at the front doors, the one on the 9th and 10th will be towards the left, and the one on the 23rd and the 24th will be on the right side in the big open area. So on the 23rd, we'll be doing a live remote there as well. And then finally, on the 30th of April, I'm planning, it's not confirmed yet, but it's definite what it's going to be, and it's going to be a gun familiarization class and a laser training seminar. It's going to be $40 per person. We just haven't figured out where we're going to do it yet and if the 30th is going to work out for us, but I'm giving you a advance notice that that's what we're working on. If you're interested in that, if you just bought a gun and you're not familiar with it, or you bought a gun a long time ago and you never messed with it because you had no place to go or you had nobody to show you, this seminar, it's going to be very good. It's $40, and I'll be teaching you with laser training as well, which is a fantastic tool to learn how to shoot your weapon. So give us a call at the shop. Give us an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, whatever, and sign up, or let me know that you want to sign up, and we'll put you down tentatively, and we'll see if we can't get this thing locked in for the 30th of April. Okay, that's what's going on in the month of April. Got a lot going on here. If you want to make a call to the studio, it's 254-773-1400. But what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be going over our product spotlight and our gun training demo. So, Paul, take it out there with a commercial, and we'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, on the other side in about a minute and a half.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's April 2nd, 2016, and we're going to be here for a little while longer. And today's segment product spotlight is going to cover the Glock 27 and the Advantage Arms Conversion Kit. Now, I have a very good relationship with ANC Firearms, and they're located in Heidenhammer. That's in between Rogers and Temple. I'm sure everybody knows it around here, Heidenhammer. I know the owner, Arch Coos. I've known him for like over 15 years now. And when I walk through the door of his shop, I get a big hello, a big smile, and a Coke if I want one. And the nice thing is that he says hello with a big smile to everyone. So I thought it was special, but, you know, he does it to everybody. Everybody, you just go on in there and he'll say, hey, how you doing? How can I help you? I visit ANC Firearms often because it has a very warm atmosphere. And being an old bank makes it even cooler to look at. It's got the original vault, wooden floors, all the old plaster that's there. And while you're there walking around, you get to see all the goodies that ANC has to offer. He's got handguns, rifles, shotguns, ammo, and accessories, and a whole lot more. And during my last visit, I said, hey, Arch, why don't you let me talk about some of these guns and products on the air? And you know what he said? He said, Matt, go ahead. So I did, and I am. And today we're going to be talking about the Glock 27 Gen 4 and 40 Smith & Wesson and the Advantage Arms 22 conversion kit that will work on it. So let's start with the Glock 27. This is one of Arch's guns. Arch is a Glock dealer. He's got the whole spectrum of Glocks. And if he doesn't have it in the store because they go out the door real fast, he can get it or order it or whatever. But this particular one, I got the specs off the Glock.com website. And I'm going to show it to you in video right now. This is the Glock 27. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to hear the collective gasp of what we do when we get a handgun. That's right. We're going to clear it to make sure it's not loaded. First thing we do, drop the mag. Mag is empty. I'm going to pull the slide to the rear, checking the chamber, checking the mag well. This weapon is clear. I'm going to dry fire it so it cannot fire again. And the weapon's dead position. We're good to go. Here's the details on this particular gun that you can get from ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer. The Glock 27 Gen 4 and 40 caliber introduces a revolutionary design changes to this small, light, accurate, and powerful pistol that so many law enforcement agencies have issued as their official backup weapon. The modular backstrap design of the Glock 27 Gen 4 40 caliber lets you instantly customize its grip to adapt to an individual shooter's hand size. That's very important with me because I'm always teaching hand size, size of gun, so on and so forth. The surface of the frame employs the new scientifically designed, real-world tested G4 rough texture technology. Just get a better grip on the gun. It's almost like a stippling, I believe. It's a reverse type of stippling. Internally, the new Glock dual recoil spring assembly substantially increases the life of the system. This part I like a lot because I'm a left-handed shooter and I'm always having to find aftermarket pieces to convert it over to left-handed shooter. But this one has a reversible enlarged magazine catch, changeable in seconds, and accommodates left or right-handed operators. It's a subcompact model. It's ideal for concealed carry and self-defense. It's lightweight, high capacity, simple to operate and maintain, reliable, reasonably priced, with a plethora of leather and carry gear available. This particular model at ANC Firearms is $589, and it's a handy, handsome little piece. I want to go over some specs about it, too. The length of it, if you're looking in the video from front to rear, the total length of it in inches is 6.41 inches. The width is 1.18 inches. So you can compare this to some of your other guns for, you know, to see how it compares to you in size. The length between the sights, which is always important. Obviously, the further length you have between the sights, the better your sighting system will be. When they're the shorter they are, the more difficult it is to sight it in a gun. But this one here is 5.39 inches, pretty good. The height from bottom to top is 4.17 inches. The barrel height is 1.26 inches, and the barrel length is 3.42 inches. So a standard little compact barrel length, which is pretty good. The weights, when it's unloaded, is 21.89 ounces, and when it's loaded, it's 27 ounces. So that's still pretty compact and light. Trigger pull, which is very important, has a 5.5-pound trigger pull. Now, that's pretty standard. You don't want it too light, and you definitely don't want it too hard. If it's too light and you can blow on it and it goes off, that's not good. Too hard, you're going to snap the trigger. The gun's going to go off target. You're going to have low shots, most likely, or shots pulled to the left or the right. So with a 5.5-pound trigger pull, and they've got aftermarket stuff that you can add to it to lighten up the trigger if you want to. Trigger travel, extremely important. I talk about this all the time, is 0.49 inches. The worst thing you can have is an extremely long trigger pull. The more trigger pull there is, the more time there is for the shot to go low because you're pulling on the gun, pulling on the trigger, instead of just getting a nice crisp break point on the trigger. The barrel rifling is a right-hand hexagonal, and the length of twist is 9.84 inches. Magazine capacity is a standard 9 rounds with an optional of 13, 15, or 22 rounds. So there you have a neat little package gun, good backup gun, and 40 caliber Glock 27 Gen 4. And it comes with all the different types of grips that you can see here in the video. You'll probably see this video come up Monday. It comes with two extra mags for a total of 3. And it comes with a mag loader, which, you know, after you practice a while, this becomes a nuisance more than anything, but it is there for persons who have weak hands, arthritis, injured hands, so on and so forth. Nice piece. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about the next part of the product demo, and that is the conversion kit that goes with it. Not with it. It's a separate item, but you can put this conversion kit on this particular gun, and this is the Advantage Arms LE-22 conversion kit for Glock models 26, 27, 33, and 39. I got this information off of Glockmeister. The Advantage Arms LE-22 conversion kit is used on the following Glock models, 26, 27, 33, and 39. The kit is compatible with generations 3 and 4 Glocks. The features of the conversion kit, adjustable sights. The front and rear sights are removable Glock OEM sights. Original equipment manufacturer, that's just good to know. The rear sight is adjustable for both windage and elevation. Last round lock open, which is great. The slide will lock open after the last round and the magazine has been fired. Our unique patented magazine design and heat-treated steel lock open inserts allows us to offer this special and desirable feature, which you can only find in Advantage Arms 22 Glock conversion kits. Internal firing pin safety. Glock incorporated an internal firing pin safety into their guns. We thought it was important enough to include it in our conversion kits as well. Our internal firing pin safety is designed to eliminate accidental discharges from dropping the firearm. The finish, all aluminum parts are anodized per mil A8625 with a matte black finish. All steel parts are heat treated with the black oxide finish, and the barrel is made from heat treated 416 stainless steel. The 10-second installation, I'm going to show you this in just a second. Installation is simple and does not require any modifications to your Glock pistol. Simply remove the Glock magazine and the slide as outlined in your Glock owner's manual. Then slide the Advantage Arm slide onto the frame until it engages with the slide lock. Check to make sure that the slide lock is in its most upward position. Okay. Comment on the ammo. Do not use Stinger or any other hypervelocity ammo, and do not use Remington Thunderbolts. Certain ammo works better on certain guns. So if the manufacturer says don't do this for certain reasons, don't do it. Now, let me show you this. Here is, in the video, I'm showing to you, I'll show you what the box looks like. And I get this from ANC Firearms. He's got a bunch of these for different Glocks, and he's also got them for 1911s and Berettas, I think. Advantage Arms 22 caliber conversion kit model LE 26 and 27, and it fits Glocks 26, 27, 28, and 33. Now, first thing we do again, because I'm picking up the weapon, I'm checking to make sure it's clear. I've got to pull the trigger, pull the slide to the rear, pull the release levers down, and the slide comes off. The conversion kit slide goes on, and that was less than 10 seconds. That was probably about 5 or 6 seconds. So here you have a gun that looks just like the one you just had. All the bells and whistles are the same. So when you go to do your training with a cheaper caliber, a 22, you can get all the training in you want for a decent price and then put your full size back on the 40 caliber and feel how the recoil is a little bit different, but you should be on the mark. So you have a great training tool. A lot of the times with these conversions, for example, like a 1911, they would tell you in the day before we had all these new conversion kits, go get yourself a Ruger Mark II or a Mark I or get a H&R 22 pistol because the angles of the grips kind of match that of a 1911. Well, you don't have to do that anymore. You can just get your Glock pistol and get a Glock conversion kit. It's the same thing. All the bells and whistles are the same. So it's a great product. ANC's got them. It's got them now. Go check it out. I believe it's going for $270, and that's a great price compared to what I've seen in other places. ANC Firearms. I'm glad I can talk to him about it. Good friend. Go meet Dennis. Go meet Clint, Mike, and of course, Arch. Great shop. And you know what? He might even offer you a soda. Okay, let's move it on. Let's go to our gun training demo. And Paul, what do I got? About 4 minutes before the top of the hour? Okay, I think we can do it. Magazine follower slide lock engagement. Every automatic pistol has a magazine. Every magazine has a follower. And most auto pistols have slide locks. And almost on every auto pistol, the magazine follower and slide lock should work well together. When they don't, it may cause a problem. If it doesn't cause a problem, it for sure then can become a nuisance. I've talked about this topic before, but today I want to primarily focus on the follower. Not only can a bad follower cause a slide to not lock to the rear, it can also cause a feeding problem as well. So first, let me illustrate how the magazine follower and the slide stop should function properly. If I put the magazine, actually, let me get this Glock back to its normal configurations here. Pull the trigger, slide comes to the rear, and it's not working. Okay, I'm rushing, that's why. What you're going to do is you're going to put the magazine into the gun, it's going to slide back to the rear, and it's going to lock into place, okay? The follower has a little step that pushes up the slide stop and causes the gun to lock to the rear. If it doesn't do that, it's because the follower is worn out probably, all right? But what I want to talk to you about is primarily the follower, not what the follower does to the slide lock. So I've got three 1911 mags here with three different followers. The first one here is from Shooting Star, I believe it is. Yeah, Shooting Star. I do not like these at all. Sorry, that's my opinion. I call this the forked tongue of followers. I'm going to bring this up to the camera. Can you see that right there? It's got a top piece and a lower piece. And what happens is it's got too much play and it dips forward. You'll be seeing this video come Monday. And what happens is, because it's got so much flex, sometimes, depending on the type of ammo you have, or if your gun's dirty, or it's just not working right, sometimes the first cartridge, when it's going to the chamber, will nosedive, and you'll have a malfunction because there's too much slop in this follower. The next follower is your basic GI 1911 magazine, and I call this the forked tongue, or the split tongue, I mean. This is where you got this one piece of metal, it splits, and it has the step down to lock your slide to the rear, but it's battle-proven, it works a lot. It just, after time, can start to wear out. But that one also has the possibility of nosediving. I don't know if you can tell that when you're watching the video. Notice how that follower falls forward on a bad angle. The cartridge should be pointing upward, and I'm exaggerating here, pointing upward like this. If the follower is bad, sometimes the cartridge points down and gets stuck at the feed ramp. The third one here, I've got these on Armscore mags, ACT mags, Magar mags. It's a solid piece of steel that comes up from the backside, comes across where the cartridge rests on, takes a step down to be used to engage your slide stop, and then comes back down on the front side to eliminate any tipping of the cartridges. Very good followers. All my 1911 mags, excuse me, I've changed all these followers to be these followers themselves, or I changed the mag itself because of its dependability and its lack of tilting on the first round. Magazine followers are extremely important. And once again, just to make a quick note, when the first cartridge goes on top of the follower, that little step on the side goes away. And when the last round is fired, the step pops up, and that step is what engages the slide stop to lock your slide to the rear. But if you have too much play, sometimes it won't work, and sometimes you'll have a malfunction when the cartridge goes into the chamber. So check that out. That's your gun training demo for the day. And we do all these kinds of explanations, demonstrations, and practical applications in our seminar. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Check out the High Cap Adventure page. Sign up for our next upcoming seminar, April 17th. Combo seminar includes the license to carry. And it does the home and self-defense training seminar, all for one price of $165. So go check it out. All right. With that, Paul, we're going to take a break. And ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we got a surprise for you. Good interview.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Today, my special guest, Clint Walker III. Clint, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Matt. Great to be with you.
We had Clint on our other show, the 105.1 FM The Ranch show at 10 o'clock. It was an awesome interview. Had a great time. And I read not really a bio, but I guess a bio of the business. So let me read to that. Let me read to you, everybody out there, again, what's going on here with Clint and the Honey Farm. When G.C. Clint Walker Sr. bought 150 hives of bees in the spring of 1930 at the age of 40, he had no idea that he was founding a business that would become a career for not only himself, but for two of his sons and one of their sons. After losing the family grocery business in the little East Milam County town of Gaws in Central Texas, Clint was simply trying to find some way to feed his wife and four young sons. The family was surviving the earliest years of the Depression with a large garden, lots of canning, and Grandpa's skill as a butcher. Honeybees seemed like a decent gamble. The gamble turned into a business that endures today. To be sure, the business was changed. We are now in our 86th year in our third generation of Walker beekeepers. In the past decade, we have survived colony collapse disorder. Keep that in mind. We're going to be talking about that. And managed to construct a new honey packing plant, retail store, and production facility near Temple, Texas. What hasn't changed is the family's commitment to producing the best quality honey and honey products. Now, whether you've been eating Walker honey for 40 years or just found us on the web, we invite you to sample our carefully crafted and time-tested products. Our hope is that all of our hard work will pay off in your enjoyment and pleasure. Thank you for being a friend. Thank you for letting us serve you, Janice and Clint Walker and the team at the Honey Walker Honey Farm. Janice couldn't be here, unfortunately, but we have Clint here. So, Clint, welcome to the show. Is there anything I forgot to mention?
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having us. You hit it. You nailed it. And I told you in the first show at the other station this morning, I think it's always a benefit when you start with a failure. So we went broke in the grocery business in 1929, and Grandpa was looking for something else to do. So we're in beekeeping because we failed first, and we try not to forget that. We're willing to take a risk and try.
Fantastic. What gets me about the failed grocery store is back then, wasn't everybody starving for food?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't get it. It's like an oxymoron.
Great stuff. Thanks for having us.
Sure. Well, as everybody knows on this show, I always ask my guests questions, and I usually give them the questions prior to the interview so that you're prepared, I'm prepared, and without the audience knowing it, we look like we're really good at what we're doing.
I like that.
They heard that, didn't they?
It's okay. A good program.
All right, so today's no different. What we're going to do is we're going to read some questions here, and some of them are going to overlap, so if I repeat myself from time to time, it's okay. It's good to hear it again. But, Clint, I'm a prepper. This show is kind of a prepper type of show, be prepared, all that kind of stuff, and I studied on honey a long time ago as a substitute for sugar, mm-hmm. and that opened up the doors to a whole bunch of different things. So what I want to do is get your smarts and share it with the audience on about a whole bunch of different topics, and I'm sure you got some stuff that I haven't asked that you're going to bring up. So let's start it like this. What properties of honey makes it a food item that preppers might want to consider?
Absolutely. Great question, and I'll just preface my answer by saying that you've been one of our customers for maybe 10 years or more.
Yes,
I remember you coming in and we visited and you've bought honey in bulk. And we have a lot of folks that for a myriad of different reasons are storing food. And why is honey a great option for a food storage program? Honey naturally preserves itself. Many of your listeners have heard and know, but I'll repeat it again for the sake of this conversation. They've taken honey out of 3,000-year-old Egyptian pharaoh's tombs, and it's perfectly unspoiled, fit to eat. And so honey's natural preservation properties come into play. There's really no other carbohydrate that you could store that length of time and not have spoilage.
Every time you bring that story up, I always listen in awe and I always say the same thing. That's unbelievable. 3,000 years and it's just like you pulled it out of the hive, right?
It really is. And I will tell you, beekeepers, people that have a lot of experience with honey, I would love to dip my spoon in some Faro honey. Right? And with no fear of threat of, you know. And so that's why honey is ideal. When you and I, if we ever are in a situation where the prepper philosophy has to come into play, and we all hope it never does.
Right.
But if it does, you need two things primarily to survive besides water. You need carbs and proteins. If you have those two things, you'll survive. And honey is probably the safest, best, most reliable, and we think good for you and tasty carb that you could store and have in an emergency.
You know, I've heard this before, but the way you just said it made my brain pop here. Could you, like, in a bug out bag, have your honey sticks? Would that supplement like a piece of beef jerky? Would that take the place of that, or am I missing something?
It would take the place of anything that you need in there for energy. So the jerky is going to provide your protein, and your proteins are made up of amino acids, so your brain will still function, your muscles will still work, but you need carbohydrates to burn. That's the calories that we have to burn. So you'd be stuck in the chair. Your body might be all right, but actually, we actually have a product in our store. It's a honey cured beef jerky. Now, if you could take my beef jerky, you know, in your bug out bag. Actually, to your question, military.
I'm stopping by today. I want to pick up some stuff. So you show me around. Okay?
That sounds good. We'd love to do that. The military has put honey in their MREs, their meals ready to eat. It's a honey straw is a great thing. A teaspoon of honey is 60 calories, and you can go and fight and live to fight another day. On that.
That's pretty good. Okay, so did I miss anything on that particular? Is there anything else on why the prepper might want it?
The only thing that I think people need to know about natural honey, and we can talk a little bit later, and I know you're going to want to ask some questions about the difference in our honey and, say, a processed honey, why is raw honey, natural honey different? We'll get to that later. I'll save that. But you need a raw honey because a raw honey preserves itself by crystallizing. People call it granulating, sugaring. It gets hard. It's not liquid anymore. Call it what you want. It's the same process. And it's one way that natural raw honey preserves itself, by forming crystals, and that keeps it from fermenting, or it keeps it from having any bacteria grow in it or anything like that.
Incredible.
It's a beautiful natural process.
What about, I didn't mention this before, but I wanted to mention it last show, but we didn't have time. What about on healing? Like if you have an open wound, I read something about that where you can actually put it on there and it heals. Talk to me about that.
The Greek army, 500 B.C., did not understand bacteria, but knew that its soldiers who were injured on the battlefield and could find a wild bee tree and smear the contents of the tree into an open wound. They actually told their soldiers, if you get that mortal wound, you know you're going to die. People die from that type of wound. Smear the contents of a bee tree in that wound, and people lived. And they didn't understand why at that time, but now that we understand bacteria, we know that honey is bactericidal. Honey kills bacteria. It has the added benefit that the antibiotics that your doctor might prescribe to you doesn't have, in that no bug can acclimate to the the bactericidal properties of honey. So, for example, Streptococcus or Pneumococcus, they put them in the dishes, and some antibiotics that have been on the shelf too long and used too much, overused, abused, the bugs now have become resistant to them. But if you can get honey on a wound, now unfortunately this doesn't work. You can't inject honey in your blood veins, so you know, in your veins, so this is not for intravenous use. But if you have a cut, there's nothing better than honey, way better than triple antibiotic ointment to put on a cut.
Wow.
Plus it cuts down scarring. Scar tissue can't grow in the presence of honey.
You know what's more amazing than what you're telling me? What's more amazing than what you just told me is the person who thought about it back then and said, you know, hey, put some honey on that.
Right.
How do they come up with this
old wives' tales, and now the science is coming in behind it, saying we're testing that and saying that's true. That's really right.
That's incredible. That's a great thing for a prepper, man. It's absolutely beautiful, and it's a sugar substitute where you can cook with it. If you're out of sugar for whatever it is you're cooking, you can utilize that.
And cooking with honey actually makes them stay moist longer, so your cookies don't dry out in the jar on the countertop if you make them with honey as opposed to sugar.
Is it like a cookie oil? Honey oil?
A good natural oil in combination with honey, and you're going to have a moist cookie. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. What else can we talk about? What issues might a person face with honey over long periods of time? We talked about that, I believe. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What experience do you and Walker Honey have with honey storage? I think we're talking temperatures and how you contain it.
Right.
Why don't you tell us about that?
We typically like to keep honey at a constant temperature. It doesn't have to be cold. Honey does quite well in a beehive with 100-plus degree temperatures in August and below freezing temperatures in January and February. So honey doesn't suffer from temperature modulations. When we store honey, we typically store it for a year or less. So if we make honey in May or June or July, it may be next January before we put it in the bottle and you're going to come pick it up off the shelf. We store that honey in steel drums with a food grade liner in that, and the honey preserves beautifully.
Clarify why the steel liner as
right.
compared to like the bucket we had discussed before.
Right.
When I got my honey, I bought it in a 5-gallon bucket. Mm-hmm. But if you do it in a long-term storage, there might potentially be a challenge. Why don't you tell us about that?
Glass is always your number one option for storing honey, just because glass doesn't leach anything out into the contents of what you have in it. Plastic, although we use food-grade plastics for our honey, our buckets, our plastic containers, on the long term, I would rather just take the safe route, even though the plastics that we use are certified food grade.
What's that called? BPA?
BPA. I think. But
are you familiar with that? Is can
yes,
you explain?
Yes, absolutely.
What that is?
It's an additive in plastics, and that it's largely been eliminated from food grade plastics for a long. They discovered it in baby formula bottles and things like that that were clearly intended for human consumption, and so the. There's been so much press about that I think the industry has pretty much eliminated that from most food items. You still have to be careful and watch for it.
What makes Walker honey different than other honey that I may want to buy at the store? Does this go back to the question we want to get to in depth?
No, this is a good place to do that. I think what sets us apart, and I want to include a lot of other people who are doing what we're doing, is that we're like the person that you knock on their door at the farm and they're selling a dozen eggs out the back door from their chickens and their hens, and you can have a conversation about what's going on there, how that, or farm-raised beef or pork or anything like that. If you know your producer, then you can trust your food. Now, when we go to the store with honey, there's an added component to that. The big store brands, the store brands or the big multinational packers that are putting honey on the shelf, the names that you know but we won't mention today. They are processing their honey, homogenizing their honey, pasteurizing their honey. They're heating it to 165 degrees, kills all the natural occurring yeast and enzymes and the good things in honey. They filter out all the plant pollens that the bees put in the honey. And they're taking everything out of the honey except for two things, the fructose and glucose molecules. So it's still sweet, it's not all the honey.
I want to set this up. And why are they doing that, Clint?
Right. It's they're doing it for one reason. They want to keep honey liquid on the store shelf. They want to be able to ship it across the country from one central location in Kansas or Iowa or California.
Ladies and gentlemen, we talked about this in the last show, and I was just like, oh, I can't believe it, man. It's all about the dollar. Let's finish up that point by saying this. What happens to the honey when it's left out in the open? It does what? It crystallizes.
It crystallizes.
Some people may think that it's going bad.
Right.
So these companies, which will go unnamed, do what you said by taking out all those good stuff of the
absolutely.
Honey so that they can maintain it in a liquid form and it looks pretty on the shelf and it never looks funky, right?
It's purely cosmetic. That's exactly right.
So here the customer is buying honey because they've heard all these great things about honey, right. And they're spending the money for the honey. However, all the good stuff is out of it, whereas your stuff and other little local guys, too. I don't take nothing away from these guys. But what you're doing is it's natural, and it's got all those things. So reiterate it once again.
Exactly right. And then the only way that you know that your honey is raw, that it's been strained, we run it through a sock strainer, we call it, and that gets the beeswax out of it, or if there's a bee wing in it or something like that, because we want you to have a good, clean, clear liquid, much like you might strain milk through cheesecloth if you had natural milk. And your local beekeeper is doing that. So if you're hearing this and you're not in Bell County, and even here in Bell County, there's some good local beekeepers that you can trust. Have that conversation. It's like that buying the eggs from the local farmer analogy. if you go buy from the local farmer and you see the egg is not perfectly clean and washed and maybe there's three different colors of eggs, you don't get upset at that imperfection. You go, boy, I know that's fresh right out from under the hen. That's I don't right. have to worry about how long it's been in a truck or a warehouse
that's right.
or cold storage somewhere.
That's a good point. I like it. Okay. What special advice would you give to me if you want to store honey, where to store it? Oh, we already talked about that. There was something over here, though, we had mentioned, and I think let's do this. Let's go to the raw honey. Why don't you go into that in more depth? I think you did it, but you wanted to finish up on some points, didn't you?
Sure. You know, if you want to use honey, we talked about science and the old wives' tales, and I think I mentioned on the first show that as a kid growing up, when my sisters or myself would have a sore throat, anyone in the family would have a sore throat, my dad would mix up his special concoction of apple cider vinegar and honey, and we would sip that, and our throat felt better. Now, yep. you know, I wondered for a while, was that better because Dad was taking care of our sore throat or because it was actually doing something good? Science has come in now as we talked about the bactericidal properties of honey. We talked about being proven now. And this is one of the most exciting new latest research things in honey. Penn State University did a study about 4 years ago. It's been replicated again and now peer-reviewed that honey is better for childhood cough than dextromethorphan, which the DM that was always in, I'll say it, Robitussin DM, you know, the DM part. Pediatricians always worried about prescribing that to their patients because there's side effects to that. Kids get hopped up. They don't go to sleep well. The DM is not a good product, but it did seem to calm the cough. In this study, honey did a better job than dextromethorphan, and actually dextromethorphan failed to do better than the placebo, the sugar water treatment in the study.
Is that a study somebody can look up somewhere?
Absolutely. In fact, if people want to get in contact with me and follow up on any of these questions, they can send me an email to clint@walkerhoneyfarm.com, and I'll be glad to give them the link to that study and the replicated study.
Well, once
study.
They see it for themselves, they'll probably be switching over pretty quick. Go ahead and get that website.
And the science. Clint@walkerhoneyfarm.com.
Okay.
And the science behind so many of these things are good. And the key about where this plays into raw honey is most of these things are only tested in raw honey, not in processed honey. So honey for coughs, honey reduces inflammation. It's a natural antihistamine. It's good for so many things that the wives' tales have been out there for 500 years about, and now we're getting science.
Well,
behind.
I can back you up on at least the throat thing. I was down, down and out for a couple weeks, and I was hacking up my left lung, you know, just by coughing so much. And I finally said, you know, I don't ever do this. Let me concoct this thing with honey in it. But I was using just that honey. I wasn't
right.
using your
right.
I was looking, where's their honey? And I found this old jar that was crystallized. Well, maybe it was good honey. It was
mm-hmm.
all crystallized.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it in the drink, drank it. And as soon as I drank it, I immediately felt some right. Better feeling. It was a lot smoother.
You can do this with lemon juice, with apple cider vinegar, which has some other good properties for your gastrointestinal tract. The apple cider vinegar does. Puts the good microbes, good bugs back in your stomach. So if you've been taking an antibiotic and you're suffering from that, take the apple cider vinegar, and why would you put the honey with that? Honey is the good microbes in our gut. Honey is their favorite food. They thrive more on that than the steak and potatoes that you had for dinner last night or anything else that you consume.
Why don't you make a teenager, a young teenager, happy and tell them why it can help acne, or it supposedly can do that?
Oh, this has been one of the most exciting things. I served a few years on the National Honey Board, and we did some research with some natural cosmetology schools on the value of honey as a skin treatment, and they were shocked when they found out how good honey was. So it's now being used in facial peels, facial applications.
Can you give a quick explanation of how you would apply it?
Oh, there's some great websites. I'll send this to anybody that asks, but if you'll go to honey.com, that's a great resource. That's the National Honey Board, and click on I don't know if it's cosmetics. There's a tab on there that you'll see. It's beauty products.
Okay.
And if you'll look at that, they actually tell you the science behind why it helps with acne and why it wow. rejuvenates skin and reduces wrinkles. And I can tell you this: we make soaps out of honey and beeswax. And there's one right there that we do.
It's cinnamon with oatmeal soap. I mean, it's in the wrapper right now, but it's just a round disc, and it's...
The oatmeal is just for exfoliant, but it has honey in it, and it has beeswax in it, and some other nice essential oils like the cinnamon essential oil. No artificial fragrances in any of our soaps. But why would I want to use honey on my skin? Your skin is your largest organ on your body.
That's right.
Okay? And when you put an oil on it, what you're doing is you're coating that skin, and whatever's in your skin, you're keeping it in your skin. Whatever's outside your skin, you're keeping it away from your skin. So if you want moisture in your skin, you dampen your skin and put honey on it, or honey in a lotion so it's not sticky, which is easy to do, instead of the propylene glycol and the oils that are in the lotions. And now your skin becomes a sink for moisture. It draws moisture out of the air and continues to hydrate itself. So you're not locking your skin back behind a closet of oil. You're opening it up to the environment and to enjoy the moisture in the environment.
Amazing. That's very interesting. Extremely interesting. As time ticks away, I know you got a box here full of products. First, before I forget, let's talk about that wine. Tell us about your wine winery.
We say that at Walker Honey Farm that we're bee to bottle, and we say that because we want people to know that we have beehives. We have 1,000 hives of bees, primarily in 5 counties here in Central Texas, and produce our own honey, and have been since 1930. So that's our core business, is beekeeping. But a few years ago, about 15 years ago, about the time you and I got to know each other, is you became a customer of ours, and I became a customer of Aaron Gun Shop.
That's right.
We decided we were going to do more of the to-bottle part of it, so we've been bottling more honey. And about 5 years ago, we said, you know, there's another bottle that we could put this honey in. So we started making honey wine or mead, and we've been doing that for about 5 years now. We've got some award-winning wines. We've won some national awards.
That's fantastic.
Our apple honey wine won best in show, best mead in the show at the American Wine Society in November a year ago. So we're having fun doing it. We've got a great vintner, does a great job for us, and we'd encourage people to come out and try some bee to bottle.
That's right. Your original building was the front part of your warehouse or your production facility there.
Right.
And then you built the new structure to the right of that as you're looking at the building.
Yes.
That is where your store is.
Yes.
Your winery part of it is on that side too, from what I saw, right?
You can buy the honey and the wine there at our new store that we've just been in. We moved in 2 years ago this January. We do have the wine cellar up at the production facility, as well as the honey extracting and the honey bottling. So everything that we do that we get dirty and sweaty while we're doing it happens up there at what you're calling the production facility,
okay,
the old warehouse building, where the store used to be in the front of. And so now we've got a place where you can come in and sit down or taste different honeys and fill your own bottle of honey out of a tank.
What do you do twice a year? What do you call that, expose or whatever it is?
We do a farmer's market twice a year. Our real commitment, because we're the farmer and we're on the farm and we're producing our product and want to sell it, is to create an environment in those two farmers markets on Memorial Day, so coming up here at the end of May, and the second Saturday in October, is to create a forum where other local farmers can bring their produce in, even craftspeople, small artisans, things like that. If you're making it here locally, we want to support that. And so we have vegetable growers, we have natural grown grass-fed beef and pork, and we do food trucks, and it's a lot of fun.
Sounds like about a great opportunity for a live remote, you know?
It does. You know, if we could find someone that could do a good live remote,
All right, well, look, you got that box full of goodies. I want people to see it on the video, too.
So that's just a jar of our Central Texas wildflower honey. It says
let's clarify that. Look, when you go to the store and you see the other honeys and they're pretty and all this kind of stuff, it's because they took all that good stuff out of it. This is looking pretty, and it's got all the good stuff in it. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you.
This is cool. I like this.
This is the fun product, right, Matt? This is our natural honeycomb. It's made in the beehive. So if you want something that we haven't touched, no one has touched, that's what you want. Honeycomb, we've got it in the round. It's a half a pound. And when you put your spoon in it, that's the first time anything's happened to that honeycomb since the bees made it.
Explain how you did it. You told me about the discs in the hive.
Right. There's a ring here around this that we put in the beehive, and a little starter sheet of foundation, and the bees make the honey in this circle. Then we take it out of the hive and put the lids on both sides of it so we can, and a label, so we can get it to the store shelf for you so you can take home and
incredible.
I love feed it. The family. It's a great product. This is honey in the raw, in natural. This is some cotton honey. We put it right in the jar. We never try to keep it liquid at all because it's got a different sugar composition. It's got less fructose and more glucose, and high glucose honeys tend to crystallize faster, so we don't even try to keep it liquid like this. We extract the honey right out of the combs. We let it settle for just a day or two. That means the wax floats to the top and the foam. Skim that off with a spoon and put it right in the jar. So you could find some beeswax in here. This is raw. This is really raw.
Not as raw as that.
Not as raw as that. Okay. That's great stuff. We have some fun stuff we do. This is
that looks delicious.
Raspberry and honey. You're going to take this one home with you. I don't have a label on it. So, anyway, but this is raspberry and honey that we crystallize real creamy and smooth. So you can just take your knife and scrape it a little bit, put it on your toast, put it on your waffles. It's a lot of fun and great flavor, and that's all natural raspberries too. This is probably the best thing we've done in the last few years. This product is peanut butter and honey. It was in HEB's top 25 new products in Texas 2 years ago. It's now in 200 stores around the state.
That's survival food right there.
Absolutely. This is the thing that if I had to put something, what'd you call your bag that you got
bug
to go?
Out bag.
Bug out bag. Okay, I'm going to have to be a better prepper here if I'm going to hang with you, Matt.
All right.
If you had to put one thing in your bug out bag, maybe the honey cured jerky would be in this same ballpark, but peanut butter and honey, you've got a great natural, good for your heart, peanuts, that's proven, scientifically proven now.
Sometimes you put peanut butter on celery sticks, it's really good. If I got honey sticks and I dipped it in your peanut honey, how would that work?
See, are you bucking for a job at Walker Honey Farm, Matt? You're great, man.
I'll do whatever I can.
Yeah, that's right. We're always looking for that next idea. And like we said earlier, we don't mind trying one and failing.
It's Reese's. You know how
that's
it. The big guy,
exactly.
Chocolate peanut
butter. I love it. Good analogy. So the peanut butter and honey, that's been a great product. We've been at that for about 6 years now. We think we've got that recipe perfected. We're still trying to improve
it.
It's good.
I'm going out there today. I want to look
good.
At all the stuff you got.
All right.
We still got a little bit more time. What else you got in here?
We've got a jar of our Central Texas clover honey.
Hey, tell everybody what it takes to fill that bottle up.
Oh, that's a lot of fun. You know, while we're doing this, we need to sample here. Yeah,
pays to be on this side.
This is our peanut butter and honey, and so I'll let you be the judge. We make this fresh about every 2 weeks there
that's
in the store.
That's freaking good, man. That is very good.
We've got a jar here, and everybody can dig in. All right.
Man, that was good. You got to try that. Go to Walker Honey. I'm barely going to talk. It's so good.
There's so many bees involved in this quart of honey. I don't have the exact numbers, but a bee has to fly around the equator, the equivalency around the equator, to produce a teaspoonful of honey in her lifetime.
That's about 26,000 miles, I believe, if I'm correct.
And so a bee essentially lives until her wings wear out and she is of no more use to the hive. And she offs herself. It's a great little society they've got figured out there. And so there are literally thousands of bees give their life to produce this one jar of honey.
That's a lot of bees. Look at this. Look at that jar, everybody, in the video. How many bees again?
Well into the thousands.
Thousands
I'm loving
of bees took to make this bottle. And how many bottles do you sell a year? Incredible. You guys got it going, man. All right. Look, I got 3 minutes left. Let's play with two more minutes because the last minute I want to close it up. What do you want to talk about that I may have forgotten or missed that you need to get out there and talk about when it comes to honey?
Well, we just want to encourage people to connect with their beekeeper, whether that's us or someone else. We actually have started doing a once-a-month, what we call our bee-to-bottle tour, and we actually start in the beehive, and we go through our extraction process, and then we take folks into our bottling room, show them how we put the honey in the jar, take them into the cellar, show them how we turn honey into honey wine. This last time when the weather's good and we take them on out into our vineyard. We've got about 600 grapevines there on site, about an acre.
News Radio 1400 KTEM. Serving Central Texas, KTEM AM, Temple, Belton, Killeen, Fort Hood.